So this seminar is very, very, it's actually almost only stories about Krishna with deep link with our life in this material world and deep teachings and deep siddhanta of Krishna consciousness, which are beautifully packed into those lila. Lord Krishna has two type of pastimes. They are the Nitya Lila and Naimittika Lila. Naimittika Lila are the lila that are happening in this world, and Nitya Lila is what is going on in the eternal spiritual world. And the Naimittika Lila, the occasional pastimes of the Lord Krishna, they are very relevant for us in this material world, and they are full actually of teaching. And the topic of my seminar is the relationship is telling us that by hearing about those pastimes, it will have a deep effect of purifying us from those anartha that are inside of our heart. And there are, it is mentioned in devotional service, there are many different steps. First of all, we develop faith that God is existing, and then we associate with devotees, and then we start to practice spiritual life. And then we come to a point where we are cleaning ourselves from those anarthas. And this, usually this time is quite, takes quite some years until one is becoming totally pure. And after this stage, which is called anartha nivritti, then spiritual life goes very fast. When those obstacles are gone, then spiritual life is going very, very fast. Is everything working? Okay. Good. So I have Srila Prabhupada write what is happening when we are beyond the level of the anarthas. He's writing in this way: when anartha nivritti is finished, perfect, then the devotee becomes firmly stuck up in Krishna consciousness. When the anarthas are gone, the curtain of material life are opening, and one can get access to the spiritual dimension. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said to hear those pastimes will help those anartha to be removed, but one need to pray. One need to daily pray to the Lord for those obstacles to be removed from our heart. And we have a special time in the temple when we pray for that. And this is actually when we are chanting the Nisinga Pranam. It's actually a very, very important moment to pray to Lord Nisingadev that he will remove all those bad qualities in our heart. Sometimes we just chant because we are used to chant it, but we don't really deeply pray for removal of anarthas. And this is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is mentioning. It's very, very important we are praying for this removal of anartha. If we think everything is all right to have those obstacles, we think, oh, anyway, that's me, what can I do, I'm conditioned, then they will never really go. We need to really pray and beg the Lord that he remove those anarthas. Now, some of you might have heard already quite a lot of time the pastimes of Lord Krishna, and sometimes there is a tendency of the mind to switch off. Oh, I have heard these pastimes already so many times. And then we think of, okay, what will I do after the lecture? And the mind is just moving around. Radhanath Swami is saying something very interesting on this topic. He said that if we think we have heard the pastimes already and we feel bored, we don't feel interested about it, it means we actually never heard it. It never actually reached our heart. It was always a little bit in the realm of the mind, but it never went deep. If it touched the heart, then we just want to hear it again and again and again. So if we feel like, I don't want to hear it, or, oh, I have heard already that, that means we actually never heard it. So this seminar is, could be said, is therapeutic hearing. Just by giving our ears to the message, to the pastimes, the glories of Lord Krishna, it has an effect to enter our heart and to purify our heart from those anarthas. So the seminar for this morning will be just a simple version, but for the session of 11 o'clock and 3 o'clock, we will have also a slideshow, a PowerPoint presentation. So it's going like this. Usually I tell shortly in the beginning what is the anatta, which is concerned of the pastime. Then we hear about the previous life of those demons, what they were doing before they were a demon. Then we go through the whole pastime. And after the pastime, I come back to the anatta and develop on the anatta and explain it a little deeper. And after that, we have some song that will be projected on the screen, and we will sing some songs that are related to the pastime. And it's a last meditation on the pastime, and it's actually very nice and very, very powerful. I also like to leave at the end of every lecture a space for sharing. And I would like you to tell, to explain what was moving you during the pastime. What do you remember? What was there interesting for you, or what you felt, oh yeah, this is exactly for me. So please hear carefully so that we can have actually a nice exchange at the end of the lecture. So I was already actually giving this seminar here in Cologne last year, almost at the same time, and we went through the first demons. We heard about Putana, about Shakatasura, and about Trinavarta. And today, that's a very special type of demon. We have actually two demons, and their names are Nalakuvera and Manigriva. And in the Lila of Krishna, they don't appear to be so demoniac, because most of the demons, when they will be sent by Kamsa to kill Krishna, but they were really trying to kill the Lord. But here in this Lila, Manigriva and Nalakuvera were not so bad, but they were still to be reformed, or to be to change their behavior. Their behavior were not proper. So in the previous life, these two persons, Nalakuvera and Manigriva, were the sons of Kuvera. Kuvera is a demigod which is in charge of the wealth. So Kuvera had obviously a lot of money, and Nalakuvera and Manigriva were the sons of Kuvera. And because of so much money and so much opulences, they were trying to enjoy life a lot. And they were actually drinking alcohols, and they were trying to also enjoy with young women. And this happened once, that they were in a river and they were totally drunk and also not dressed in this river. And Narada Muni, a great saint, came there. And as soon as the ladies saw the saint, they immediately covered themselves and offered respect to the saint. But Nalakuvera and Manigriva were so intoxicated that they were making fun of the sage. They were actually very disrespectful toward him. And then Narada Muni felt a lot of compassion. He felt, look at those two. They are supposed to give example. They are the sons of Kuvera, and they are acting in such a bad way. I need to help them. So he gave them a curse. He said, because you are you like to be naked, then you become like naked trees. And because you don't know how to behave, you will stay for a long time in this tree body. And then you will still be conscious. You will still be able to think a little bit what was your mistake and how you need to change yourself. But it's not just a curse. I also give you a blessing. And this blessing is that Lord Krishna himself will bring you back out of those tree body. Lord Krishna personally will liberate you. So the anatta that Manigriva and Nalakubera represent is the attachment, is being carried away by wealth and aristocratic birth. Because of this deep attachment to wealth and aristocratic birth, then they lose the spiritual track. They are carried away by wealth and aristocratic birth. So this is a very famous lila that we have heard many times, and there are many very, very beautiful details in this pastime. As you all may know, Krishna, when Krishna was a small boy, he liked very much to eat butter. And he started to develop some bad habits because he would go in the house of the neighbors and he would steal from them butter. And it's not such a good habit to steal. So Mother Yasoda was a little bit worried. What will happen with my boy that is now having those stealing habits? But Krishna had to do that. Because the point is, the gopis were making those milk products and they were just hoping Krishna will come to take them. They were just doing that for Krishna only. They loved Krishna so much that everyone in Vrindavan will make their milk product and think of Krishna all the time and think, this is just meant for Krishna. I hope Krishna will come and steal those milk products. So Krishna had to do that because that was so strongly their own desire. And when the gopis were churning the butter, they will remember Krishna's face. When Krishna will come and will steal the butter, he will often smear it around his mouth. And here, Krishna has a very darkish complexion. And with all this white butter around his mouth, it looks just so beautiful. So as the gopis were churning the yogurt, they were just remembering the face of Krishna with the butter around. They would just feel so much happiness and so much desire. Hopefully Krishna will come today and steal the butter. But one day, when Krishna came to steal, one gopis catched him. And she said, "Ah, finally I catch you. You are the thief who always comes. This time I will tell everything to your mother. I will tell everything to Mother Yasoda." And Krishna said, "No, don't do that. Don't do that. Please, don't do that. I will never do it again. Don't do that. Don't do that." And the gopi said, "You always tell me you will not do it again, but you always do it again. So this time it's too much. This time I bring you to your mother." So she took Krishna by the arm and brought Krishna to Yasoda, the mother. And on the way, Krishna was complaining, "No, don't do that, don't do that. If you do that, you will regret it." But the gopi was really convinced and she brought her to Mother Yasoda. And Krishna did a trick. When they were on the way to Mother Yasoda, Krishna transformed himself in the sun of that particular gopi. So the gopi knocked at the door of Mother Yasoda and started to complain. "Look what your boy, what Krishna did again. Your boy is stealing in my house." And Yasoda just looked at the boy and she said, "I think you you must do a mistake. It's your own son. There is not Krishna. It's your own son. And the gopi looked at it was her son, and she was just amazed. How could I think it was Krishna? It's my boy who was doing that. So she was just so bewildered that she went back to her house. And on the way back to her house, Krishna transformed back into Krishna. And he said, I told you, you will regret it to bring you to my mother. And Krishna said, don't do that ever. If you do it again, next time I will transform in your husband. Another time also, a gopi caught Krishna and brought Krishna to Mother Yasoda. And she said, Mother Yasoda, again your son is stealing butter. Now I want you to chastise your son in front of me. You need to chastise your son. You do it in front of me. So Mother Yasoda felt, I have to do it. So she started to chastise Krishna. Why are you stealing butter? Why are you always doing that? And as the gopi was chastising, as Yasoda was chastising Krishna, the gopi started to feel sorry for Krishna. So she said, but why are you chastising him? He is such a good boy. He should come again and again in my house to take butter. And Yasoda was, huh? What are you doing? You just told me I should scold him, and now I scold him. What's going on? But still, Mother Yasoda was thinking, I need to do something to correct my boy. It's too much. So she thought, we have so many milk products in our own house. Maybe they are not good enough that Krishna is going in some other house to take. So I will make sure that our milk products will be the best ones. And at this time, we will read from Srimad Bhagavatam, because Prabhupada speaks about that in the purport of that verse. And it's nice in the morning to just hear one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Wonderful. So this is the first verse of the chapter, chapter 9. Mother Yasoda binds Lord Krishna.
Shishuka uvacha ekada grihada shishu.
Shishu means young boy.
Yasoda nanda gehini karmantara niyuktasu nirma manta svayam dadi.
Shishukadeva Goswami said, one day when Mother Yasoda saw that all the maidservants were engaged in other household, she personally began to churn the yogurt. While churning, she remembered the childish activities of Krishna. And in her own way, she composed songs and enjoyed singing to herself about those activities.
We have a very, very nice purport from Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, quoting from the Vaishnava Toshani of Srila Sanatana Goswami, says that the incident of Krishna's breaking the pot of yogurt and being bound by Mother Yasoda took place on a special day. Any one of you knows what day is the day of this pastime? Yeah, on Diwali. That's the day which is just before Govardhan Puja. So that's quoted by Sanatana Goswami in Vaishnava Toshani. Even today in India, this festival is generally celebrated very gorgeously in the month of Kartik by fireworks and lights, especially in Bombay. It is to be understood that among all the cows of Nanda Maharaj, several of Mother Yasoda's cows ate only grass so flavorful that the grasses would automatically flavor the milk. Huh? So the cows of Mother Yasoda, and that's actually what Mother Yasoda did. She understood, my boy is always stealing, so I need to make sure
Krishna get the best milk products from us. So she had the best of cows, and she gave those cows the best grass. And this grass was have so much flavor that the milk itself was having the flavor of those flour and grass. Mother Yasoda wanted to collect the milk from those cows, make it into yogurt, and churn it into butter personally. Since she thought that this child Krishna was going to the house of the neighborhood, Gopas and Gopi, to steal butter because he did not like the milk and yogurt ordinarily prepared. So that was really the point of Mother Yasoda. I need to make it myself, so he will not go and steal anymore. While churning the butter, Mother Yasoda was thinking about the childhood activities of Krishna. It was formerly a custom that if one wanted to remember something constantly, he would transform it into a poetry or have it done by a professional poet. And here also we have commentaries that Krishna will do his pastimes in Vrindavan, and then the poets of Vrindavan, they will make songs and poetry about those. And then the bridge basis, the habitants of Vrindavan, they will all the time sing. And that's what Prabhupada said. They knew, if you want to remember something all the time, you need to think about that particular things you want to remember. It appears that Mother Yasoda did not want to forget Krishna's activities at any time. Therefore, she poeticized all of Krishna's childhood activities, such as the killing of Putana, Agasura, Shakatasura, and Trinavarta. And while churning the butter, she sang about those activities in poetical form. Here now comes something very important. This should be the practice of persons eager to remain Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day. That's us. That's our goal, to remain Krishna conscious all the time. This incident shows how Krishna conscious Mother Yasoda was. To stay in Krishna consciousness, we should follow such a person and always keep engaged in thinking about the glories of Krishna. Very, very beautiful verse. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So Mother Yasoda was waking very early in the morning, and she would start to churn the butter, and a roaring sound was coming out of the mouth of the pot where she was churning, and small particle of milk or yogurt will jump out of the pot and will fall on the golden border of her sari, and this will make her sari much more beautiful. And as she was churning, she was thinking of Krishna. She did not want to forget him. Although Krishna was just in the next room, Krishna was sleeping, it was early in the morning, Yasoda was feeling separation from Krishna. And because of this separation, to fill up this separation, she will sing about the glories of Krishna. And she will naturally remember his activities. And she will remember that sometimes she will catch Krishna stealing butter. And then Krishna will look at her and said, "Mother, you should know that I am expert in this art of stealing." Mother Yasoda will remember and will become even more convinced, I need to be really doing good product. He will really stop these activities. So there are very, very beautiful descriptions of Mother Yasoda churning the butter. I would like to ask if any of you know anything of what is happening when Yasoda is churning butter. Any one of you knows any of those details? Yeah, perspiration. The bangles and the earrings are all tingling in the way she's doing. Yeah, very good, very good. I will read, there is actually one verse that says the full description of Mother Yasoda. Dressed in a saffron yellow sari, with a belt tied about her full hips, Mother Yasoda pulled on the churning rod, laboring considerably, her bangles and earrings moving and vibrating, and her whole body shaking. Because of her intense love for her child, her breasts were wet with milk. Her face, with its very beautiful eyebrows, was wet with perspiration, and Malati flowers were falling from her hair, like drops of rain falling down a blackish cloud like her hairs. So this is one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, and in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is writing something very amazing. He speaks about our original Svarup, our spiritual identity, which is a topic that we usually don't hear so much, which is actually quite a high topic. And Prabhupada speaks about that topic like if it's something like a day-to-day topic. He's speaking very, very openly. I just would like to read a few of those sentences from the purport of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada writes, "Anyone who desires to become Krishna conscious in motherly affection should contemplate the bodily feature of Mother Yasoda." So anyone who feels like his relationship will be to Krishna, will be to be a mother, should think of those descriptions of Mother Yasoda. It is not that one should desire to become like Mother Yasoda, for this is Mayavad. Either in parental affection, conjugal love, friendship, servitorship, we must follow in the footsteps of the inhabitant of Vrindavan, not to try to become like them. A very interesting point, that we should not hope or desire to become Mother Yasoda, but to become servant of Mother Yasoda and follow the bridge passi, but not to become, to take their position. Now Prabhupada said, advanced devotees, they must cherish those descriptions. Means they must think deeply of those descriptions of Mother Yasoda. Always thinking of Mother Yasoda's feature, how she was dressed, how she was working and perspiring, how beautiful the flowers were arranged in her hair, and so on. One should take advantage of the full description provided here by thinking of Mother Yasoda in maternal affection for Krishna. So Prabhupada said we should actually contemplate this. We should actually see those descriptions in our mind. We should meditate. How is Krishna perspiring? Mother Yasoda perspiring? How she is moving the rod? And this is really very important point in Krishna consciousness. When we read Srimad Bhagavatam, we have so many descriptions. And those descriptions are actually a support for us to think of Krishna. And one should actually remember and see those descriptions in our mind's eyes. And then it's much more easy to be Krishna conscious. We need to use our mind to visualize all those pastimes that are given to us by Shukadev Goswami and the Acharya. And Prabhupada is very clearly mentioning here that an advanced devotee, they will do that. They will contemplate on those activities of Krishna. So as Yasoda was churning the rod, Krishna felt, oh, my mother has so much love. She's all the time thinking of me. I need to call her. So he started to make some noise, some small scream. And Yasoda was engaged in the churning. So she said, "Gopal, Gopal, I'm here, come, come." So Krishna came running to his mother, took her legs around his arms, and then he took her sari and started to pull at her sari. And he wanted to show, I need your attention. And I want to drink from your milk. I want you to feed me with your milk. And Yasoda was engaged, and she thought, yeah, it can wait a little bit. But then Krishna took the churning rod and started to try to stop the churning rod so that she could not do that. Suddenly, the one who churns the heart of everyone in creation forcefully caught the churning rod. The one who is churning the heart of the entire universe was now trying to stop the churning of Mother Yasoda. Yasoda's bliss increased in her heart by seeing the cleverness of her son. Yasoda's heart swelled in appreciation of Krishna's wonderful gentle nature. Her milk, then she sat, she took Krishna on her lap, and she gave him milk. And as Krishna was sucking her milk, Mother Yasoda was, Shishi Konita Ki Jai, Bolo Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai. As Krishna was sucking the milk of Mother Yasoda, Mother Yasoda was just looking at the beautiful face of Krishna, and her heart swelled with bliss. Her milk was flowing like monsoon, and Krishna was drinking like a chataka bird. Now, while Krishna was drinking, one person became very disturbed, and this was the milk. In the spiritual world, everything is conscious, and the milk was conscious, and the milk was seeing how much Krishna was drinking, and he thought, what is the use of my life? If Krishna drink everything from Mother Yasoda, I have no reason of being anymore. I'm there for Krishna's pleasure, but if he cannot drink me, what's the use? So the milk decided, I want to commit suicide. No reason for my life anymore. So he started to grow and grow. That was, the milk was on the fire, and started to grow and fall down on the fire. And Mother Yasoda saw that, and she immediately put it Krishna down on the floor. She said to Krishna, I worship you for a moment. Please, wait. I need to go and take care of the milk. So she placed Krishna on the ground and went to take care of the milk. But Krishna did not like this at all. And now we could ask the question. Mother Yasoda is the mother of God. She is the example mother, the role model of being a mother, and she is doing something that Krishna don't like. She's just putting him on the floor and go to take care of something else. So the question is, was Mother Yasoda in Maya? How could she do that? And the explanation that the Acharya gives is that Mother Yasoda wanted to take care of the milk because she wanted to serve Krishna, because this milk was the most precious milk that she had prepared with so much care from the special cows who were eating the special grass, and this milk really need to be saved to give pleasure to Krishna. Krishna became very angry at this act. How could Mother Yasoda do that? His red became red, his face became red, and his teeth, he started to bite his lip. And then he thought, and now I will do something to show my disappointment. And there were a lot of big pots, clay pots, which were full of yogurt. And Krishna took a stone and bang, just broke those pots. And all the yogurt fell off of those pots. And then he ran away. He went in some other rooms where yogurt were and butter and continued breaking the pots. And he was so angry that he started to eat butter. And as he was eating the butter, his anger was becoming lower and lower and lower. We see sometimes when we have some difficulties, we also get the tendency to eat, you know, just to let the emotion go down. So Krishna was eating this butter and slowly, slowly coming back to his anger was going away. And it's even described that Krishna was crying. Krishna was feeling very sad that Mother Yasoda had done that. But when this anger became pacified, Krishna went out of the house and he started to distribute yogurt and butter to the monkeys. Why did Krishna do that? Why did he start to feed the monkeys? Krishna was remembering his Lila when he was Lord Ramachandra and how the monkeys had helped him at that time. And he remember, actually, I never gave them anything. They were helping me, but I'm indebted towards all those monkeys. So now I will feed them it's a little late, but I will try to feed them with yogurt to repay my debt toward their service to me. Krishna also understood I did something wrong. I have broken those pots and Mother Yasoda will not be so happy with me. So I should do some pious activities to counteract the bad action I did. So when Mother Yasoda had taken care of the milk, she went back in the room and she looked and she said she saw that the pots were broken. She took her index finger and touched her nose and she thought, how impudent is my son? How could my child show such impudence? She felt both anger and joy at the same time, and she smiled. But she thought, this is not good. I need to teach him now. I need to be strong with him. And she took a stick, and she went to look for Krishna. Who of you knows how she could know where Krishna was? Yeah, exactly. In the yogurt were the very small footprints of Krishna. So Mother Yasoda could see the footprints and could see where Krishna was. So she now went to look for Krishna. After feeding the monkeys, there was there a big mortar where they would ground spices. And Krishna was sitting on this mortar and he was anxious, what will happen now? So he was looking right and left if Mother Yasoda was coming. And his eyes were going from one ear to the other ear. And suddenly he saw Mother Yasoda coming. And Krishna just looked at Mother Yasoda. And it was clear the monkeys were still eating yogurt. There was really a lot of milk products everywhere and the monkeys were eating. But the monkeys had eaten so much that they just could not eat anymore. They were just lying next to all the milk products and could not eat anymore. So Mother Yasoda came. And Krishna knew that Mother Yasoda had a complex about her own milk products. So Krishna teased her and said, look, your milk products are not good. Even the monkey don't want to eat them. And then Krishna jumped down the mortar and started to run away. So Mother Yasoda started to run after him and was screaming, stop running! Stop! Oh, you foremost cheater of the world! Stop running! Stop running! And Krishna was running, and Krishna was not running straight. He was running in crooked ways, right and left and right and left. and Mother Yasoda was trying to catch him. Krishna was screaming, "I will not do it again! I will not do it again! Just throw away your stick! Throw away your stick!" Mother Yasoda was trying to catch Krishna, but she had very large hips and heavy breast, and she was trying, but Krishna was going very, 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 very fast. And as Mother Yasoda was running after Krishna, flowers were falling down her hairs. And the Acharya give comments on the hairs of those flowers, because flowers are also living in the spiritual world. So some of the flowers were on the side of Krishna. And the flowers thought, "Oh, now Mother Yasoda tried to catch Krishna. This is not good. We don't want to be part of this. We better jump off Yasoda, because we don't agree with what Yasoda is doing." And some of the flowers were on the side of Mother Yasoda. And those flowers were thinking, "Mother Yasoda cannot catch Krishna. She is too heavy. We should jump out of her head so that she become lighter and have more chance to catch Krishna." Yasoda became fatigued and mentally distressed. Her body, arms, legs looked very beautiful as she was running after Krishna. Yasoda was screaming to Krishna, "Stop, you thief and liar! How can you carry on like this? Where are you going? Just stop running and stand where you are." Krishna was still running, and time to time Krishna would look over his shoulder to see where Mother Yasoda was. And when he was looking over his shoulder, he would slow down, and Mother Yasoda would come close. And when Mother Yasoda would come close, he would again look straight and go again faster. But after some time, he stopped and kept a distance from Mother Yasoda. And Mother Yasoda said, "You are acting like a monkey." And Krishna said, "If I am a monkey, then I will run to the forest." And Krishna started to run again. And Mother Yasoda again started to run after him. But after some time, Krishna allowed Mother Yasoda to catch him. It's a very, very special point. Because Mother Yasoda was giving so much effort. She wanted to do that for the good of Krishna. She wanted to teach him, that Krishna finally agreed and allowed himself to be bound by Mother Yasoda. So the first things Mother Yasoda did, she threw away the stick. She saw Krishna was really afraid. His eyes were trembling, his body was trembling. So she threw away the stick. And Krishna told Mother Yasoda, "I am responsible. I did it. All the fault is mine." Like sometimes you have people who do some bad actions and then they have to go to the court. And they agree, "Yes, I did it," to get the favor of the judge that will maybe not punish them. And the judge will say, "Oh yeah, he's an honest person." So Krishna was using the same trick. "I did it, Mother Yasoda, I did it. Please don't punish me too heavily." Mother Yasoda told him, "But you are a thief. I need to chastise you. You should give up your pride." Now she starts to scold Krishna. "You should give up your pride. You have such a restless nature. Oh friend of monkeys. Oh pot breaker. Where will you steal butter today? Now I shall bind you." And Krishna was thinking, "But she should not bind me. I need to do my duty of stealing butter today. If she bind me, I cannot do my duty of stealing butter. She should not bind me." Srila Prabhupada gave a very beautiful purport on this point. And he explained how so many spiritualists, so many yogis, they try to catch Krishna. They try to to take Krishna in their heart and keep the Lord in their heart, but they are just not able to do that. But Mother Yasoda, who did not seem to have such high sadhana, we could say, she was able to catch Krishna. And Prabhupada writes, Yogi tried to capture Krishna. What to say of Mother Yasoda? She not only caught Krishna, but she even instilled fear in Krishna. So how is Yasoda much more high than all yogis and all other? Krishna began to cry. Tears were mixing with the right kajal that he had around his eyes, and with his hand he was doing like this on his eyes, and black was coming bigger. And some said that from this time everyone could get a first idea of Jagannath, who has big eyes and black around. So Mother Yasoda thought, okay, now I should really bind him. She was also afraid that Krishna had been traumatized by this experience and that he would run to the forest like he had said before. So she thought, I really need to tie him up now. So she started to take rope and started to bind Krishna to the mortar. And when Krishna saw what she was doing, he just could not catch but smile. But he had to turn his face so that Mother Yasoda would not see that he was smiling. And then he was starting again to cry, trying to discourage Mother Yasoda. And Krishna was thinking, he was convinced, I need to do my stealing activities. If she bind me, I cannot do this. I will not let myself be bound. So he used his Satya Sankalpa Shakti. It's a energy of the Lord that makes whatever Krishna wants happen. So he used this Shakti, and whenever Yasoda wanted to bind him, the rope was too short. She could not bind him. So all the gopis were looking at what was going on. All of them were there. And they would say, oh, Mother Yasoda, finally you agree that your son is stealing butter. Oh, finally you are teaching him something. They were laughing at Mother Yasoda. And Mother Yasoda was saying, come, bring some ropes. Bring more ropes. I need to tie him. So they brought some more ropes, and she would put the ropes together, but all the time two fingers were too short. She was just not able to bind Krishna. And she was perspiring. She was wondering what is going on here. And more ropes. And I mean, they were coward people. They had a lot of ropes for tying the cows. So they were bringing more and more ropes, but still all the time two fingers too short. What was going on? Mother Yasoda was just totally amazed, could not understand. But after some time, very beautifully described, the Kripa Shakti came and overcame the Satya Sankalpa Shakti. That means the energy of compassion of the Lord came stronger than his energy of fulfilling all his desire. And when the Kripa Shakti came over, Krishna had to allow himself to be bound. And when Krishna was finally bound to the mortar, the gopis, Mother Yasoda went away to prepare breakfast or to do his other activities, and she asked the friend, the cowboy boy, you please stay close to him and see everything goes well. And actually when Krishna was crying, all the cowboy boys who were there, they also started to cry. They also thought we should empathize or being empathic to Krishna. He's crying. We also feel like crying. And they all started to cry. And then Krishna will look at them and will make a small smile, showing them, it's okay, don't be too sad by what's going on. And then when Mother Yasoda was gone, the cowboy boy tried to untie Krishna with the rope, but they could not They could not because the rope had been tied with the love of Mother Yasoda. And the love of Mother Yasoda is actually Vatsalya Bhava. It's parental affection. And this is actually higher than Sakya Bhava, the loving exchange. So therefore they just could not untie the rope of Krishna. At that time Krishna saw the two Yamal Arjuna trees. The two trees in which Nalakuvera and Manigriva had to take form. Those trees were actually in the garden of Krishna. And Krishna looked at those trees and understood, yeah, actually I have nothing to do with these two, Nalakuvera and Manigriva. But because my devotee, Narada Muni, gave a blessing that I will deliver them, then I have to do it. But he was not feeling like I have anything to do with those two. But because Narada asked, okay, I will do it. So Krishna started to crawl on the ground, and he was still bounded to this mortar and started to go toward those trees. A light breeze was there blowing in the leaves of those trees. It was now already the sun was up and it was becoming hot. And the friends of Krishna, they saw Krishna going to the trees, they thought maybe he's looking for some shadow. So they were wondering, they were looking at Krishna going toward the trees. And those trees, the Yamal Arjuna trees, are one of the strongest tree you can have. They have a lot of those trees in type of island, and when there are some big storm, all trees are uprooted, but the Yamal Arjuna trees are always the only one who are standing, very, very strong trees. So Krishna went to those trees, and the mortar that was behind him got stuck in between the two trees. And then Krishna smiled, and with a little jerk, just uprooted the two trees, and the two trees fell crash on the ground and made very, very heavy sound. All the blissful bridge basses became so afraid when they heard this noise, and they just ran to see what was happening. And all the friends of Krishna who were around Krishna, they became so stunned by what had happened. They were like statues. They were like pictures, not moving. And the bridge buses came and saw the boys like this, and they were wondering what happened, how could those trees fell down. They were looking at the roots of the tree, if maybe the tree were a little bit rotten. There was no wind, no rain. How could those trees fall down? One thought, maybe it's Mother Earth. Mother Earth wanted to offer obeisances to Krishna with her two arms, and she fell on the ground like this. And some of the boys told, this is Krishna. Krishna did it. Krishna uprooted the trees. And some could not believe. They say, oh, those young boys, they are just saying stories. It must be something else. And some were remembering the words of Garga Muni. Garga Muni had said, this boy will be none different than Narayan. He will have all the powers, all the potencies of Narayan. And some were silent and were thinking, maybe it was Krishna. But actually I skipped important parts. I'm going a little free out of my notes at the moment. But when the Yamal Arjuna fell and the big crash was there, the two demigods came out of the trees and actually offered prayers to Krishna. There are a few beautiful prayers, and I'd just like to read one of them. O friend of the distressed, we have no desire other than to touch the pollen dust of your lotus feet. Narada's curse turned into a great boon. Association with sadhus who intensely yearn for your service always give good result. That means they had association with Narada, who was a great devotee of Krishna, and now they understood association with sadhus who are your servant is actually a great, great blessing. May our words perpetually glorify you. May our minds be forever fixed on your lotus feet. May our ears be constantly absorbed in hearing your teaching. And I mean, Srimad Bhagavatam is full of prayers. It's showing us how much we should be longing for those benefits or those results. We should be praying for that. Those prayers are example for us. We should pray those prayers. We should approach the Lord with this attitude. I want to always remember you. Allow me to always glorify you and always hear about your activities. That's the prayers. Krishna was smiling. Krishna was thinking, now I have delivered those two demigods from their bondage to samsara, because actually he gave them freedom. But I am still bounded by the rope of Mother Yasoda. Krishna was laughing. I'm able to deliver them, but I'm still not able to deliver myself from the rope of Mother Yasoda. And then, actually, Mother Yasoda when she saw what had happened, she became very depressed. She thought, now everything is my fault. I have bound Krishna, and then all those trees fall down. Everything is my fault. So she went in a room and locked herself in a room and just started to cry. Nanda Maharaj came and untied Krishna. And while he was untying Krishna, he was saying, who did that? Why Mother Yasoda did like this? And then Nanda Maharaj took Krishna in his arm, went to the river Yamuna and gave a bath to Krishna and was singing mantras and prayer for the protection of Krishna. And then Krishna went back to the house where Mother Yasoda was. And he came to her, he pulled her sari and he said, oh Mother, before you made me cry, am I now making you cry? And Mother Yasoda just melted in affection and took Krishna on her lap, and Krishna started to drink her milk again. And Mother Yasoda was relieved. So that's really an amazing lila. So many details, so many food for our mind, spiritual food for our mind. We can see when we hear those descriptions and we give our ear, we can see the pastimes happening in front of our eyes. It's beauty of Krishna consciousness. So time is also passing. I would like to now mention a little bit about the anatta. So the teaching of the lila, it represents being carried away by wealth and aristocratic birth. Now we might think, okay, we are quite protected from that. We don't have, our parents are not so aristocratic, most probably. And we, Hare Krishna, are usually quite poor. So we don't have so much risk to be overwhelmed by this type of anatta. But actually one can easily be proud still of our birth. We can be proud of being born in Germany. That can be something we can feel very proud of. And we can be proud also of some type of education we have received. my parents were always stressing so much that everything will be so clean in the house. And one day I was visiting a temple where the devotees were not so clean. And I was speaking with one of the lady there. And I was saying, how can you live in such... why you don't clean more? I was really educated by my parents to have everything so clean. And the person, the lady, the Mataji did not... She just turned her head and went away. And then I just noticed how proud I am that I received this education. So this is the connection with anatta, proud of our birth. Even it might not be directly aristocratic, but proud of the education we have received. Being carried away by wealth. This is also something interesting, and we see that sometimes this happened to devotees, that as long as they were poor, they were very much attracted or interested in devotional service. But maybe after some time, they get some more money, and then they just get carried away from Krishna consciousness through all the opulences and all the money, all the facilities that the money is giving them. Sometimes we can even see a Sankirtan devotee in the street, and suddenly someone give them 50 euro, and immediately the devotee might think, okay, how will I spend this money? What will I buy with it? Just the money comes, and it has this intoxicating aspect. And you can see in India, there are many sadhus who don't even touch money. I was staying in a small ashram and I wanted to give some money at the end. He just took a piece of journal and he did not want even to touch the money for this aspect. Because as soon as money is there, there is some ego coming. There is some feeling of control. Money gives this feeling that one can control. So when we are carried away by this wealth or aristocratic birth, one becomes actually blind. And Narada Muni could see these two, Nalakuvera and Manigriva. They had become totally intoxicated by these opulences and thinking they are so great of being sons of demigod. They can do whatever they like. So he had actually to help them to free this anatta. It is also a fact that if one is poor, then one actually is much more compassionate. If one has some sufferings or some difficulties, he's usually much more compassionate for other persons who will also be poor and also in difficulties. And poor people are often very much open to hear. But rich people are sometimes very, very difficult. And we see when we are trying to give Krishna consciousness, rich people have very often a very strong ego. And because they have this control in their hands, it's actually very, very difficult for them to take a spiritual process. And we can see also how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not want to associate with King Pratapaudra. We see how so many sadhus do not want to associate at all with people who have this wealth. So the solution to cure this anatta, which is given by Narada Muni, is simple living and high thinking. And there is a very beautiful verse from Queen Kunti. She said, "My Lord, you can easily be approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted." My Lord, you can be easily approached by those who do not have much material possessions. One who is on the path of material progress tries to improve himself with respectable parentage, great opulence, high education, and bodily beauty, then those people cannot approach you with sincere feelings. Hare Krishna, welcome. So one who has this simple living, he will leave all material attraction of the world a little aside, and he will actually be able to focus mainly on spiritual path, on spiritual practice and absorption in Krishna consciousness. This is simple life. Also, we can see in some temples also, or some monastery, they have very, very deep spiritual life, and then when there is the time for cultivating land, then they have more work to be done, and then when the winter comes, then they all retire in their monastery and all just pray and just absorb their mind in Krishna consciousness. This is actually simple life and high thinking. Not so much to do on the material side, but a lot of time to absorb in spiritual practices. So, how can we come there? How can we come to be to have this simple life? Because we all are somehow contaminated and attracted by material nature and by so many distractions of this world. Our mind are just running around to all those things. How do we become simple? And one answer that is given by Bhakti Chaitanya Swami, he said that one become more simple when we develop a higher taste. When we develop higher taste in spiritual life, then immediately our material life become simplified, because we just lose taste for those things, material. And there is a very beautiful example of the Prabhupada, the disciple of Srila Prabhupada. When they were in contact with Prabhupada, they will get so much higher taste that they could just surrender totally. They were just ready to do anything. Their life just became extremely simple, because the higher taste was there. To whatever Prabhupada was saying, they were just doing it. There was no question, I will not do it, or it's maybe not possible. The higher taste was there. They just totally gave themselves. And this is also what we call simplicity. It's like to be totally honest and to be totally straightforward in our action and our thoughts. This is also simplicity. Kanabakanana Swami was giving a very beautiful example to get higher taste. He was saying, we have many pipes of nourishment in Krishna consciousness. We have like one big pipe of nourishment. This is visit of the Holy Dhamma. And we have another big pipe of the Holy Name, nourishment, the chanting of the Holy Name. And we have another Sadhu Sangha. And we have another Shastra. And we can eat from all those pipes, and then we get this higher taste. But then he was saying, you should not just drink from one of those pipes. And you have to check, maybe some of those pipes are blocked. Maybe our Sadhu Sangha pipe is blocked. Maybe our relationship with devotee is not harmonious, and this doesn't allow this nourishment to come and this higher taste to develop. My Guru Maharaj, the parents of my Guru Maharaj gave him a journal, and this journal was Simplify Your Life. And in this journal, sometimes Sachinandana Swami will tell us a little bit of things that were written in. And one of the things is, go through your house and give away all the things you did not use during the last year. Like, simplify your life, like, get rid yourself of all those material things that are just there that you don't really use, don't really need, or don't really use. Get yourself free of all superficial things of life so that you can actually go deeper into the essence. And I have just a few points on this point of satsanga, this point of getting nourishment through the association of devotees. There are few things that are very important to consider so that our sadhu sangha is going very well. I don't want to develop them, but I just want to say those few points. The first one is forgive others. Whatever others did to you that was painful or difficult, just forgive others. Just let that go. Don't keep. Sometimes we see devotees keep for 10 years things that another devotee told them, or that frustration they had. So the first point is just forgive whatever others did. And this is done with the understanding that everything is under Krishna's control, and it was definitely there to teach me something, those difficulties. Second point is learn to discover others. Just try to learn how they are thinking. What do they like? Why do they behave or speak in such a way? Try to become interested to others. Go out of your own self-centered world. And the third point is do not expect from others. Most of the conflict between people is we expect them to be like we want them to be. And we don't accept them as they are. We want to change them. And when we have those expectations toward others, it's always a lot of frustration coming out of it. And the last point is encourage others. Whoever is around, just encourage them to practice devotional life, practice devotional service. Okay, so that was the one part of our seminar. And I see it's 9:10. What do you think, Ram Gopal? Should we stop here, or should we keep it a little bit open for forum of sharing and maybe questions? Yeah, we are not in a hurry. I think it's very nice that we have a little bit like sharing. It can be some details that you liked in the past time that maybe touched you or made you laugh or brought some emotions out, or some question in connection to the anatta. It's actually, I must tell you, it's a little bit, it's not like a strict Shastric reference. It's more like my own observation of what can make a good sadhu sangha. Maybe there are some other, those points should not be taken maybe like praman, like Shastric reference, but they definitely can bring a lot of help in the relationship. Yeah. Spricht Deutsch? Ja.
So gedacht, ja, so geht mir das auch. Ich laufe auch mit der Krishna hinterher und er dreht sich um und lässt mich näher rankommen, wenn mein Dharma stimmt, wenn ich die Kraft habe, hinterher zu laufen. wenn meine Praxis stimmt, ja, und wenn ich dann irgendwie nachlässig werde, dann dreht er sich um. Ja, und ich muss zurückbleiben, weil ich einfach ja, und die Milch in der spirituellen Welt, die fängt ja dann überzukommen. Und will überkommen. Und Mutter Yashoda muss ihre Pflicht erfüllen. So, damit die Milch nicht überkommt. Die Milch will aber nur Krishna sehen. Und so bin ich irgendwie so mit meinen Anhaftung und Anathas, so komme ich da so in Berührung. So, ich will ja auch nur Krishna sehen. Und, aber ich muss meine Pflicht erfüllen. Und das war so deutlich, das hat mich tief berührt, irgendwie so, weil ich versuche das ja und laufe hinter Krishna hinterher, aber gleichzeitig ist es wirklich schwierig, so ganz und gar loszulassen von der materiellen Welt und nur hinter Krishna hinterherlaufen und zu sehen, dass ich immer näher rankomme und immer näher rankomme und so, ja, vielleicht kannst du da noch was zu sagen, vielleicht ich muss das nochmal so für mich so fühlen, wie gehe ich damit um, was mache ich jetzt da drauf.
Ja, super, sehr schön. Und the first point you make is amazingly good, amazingly important for us, and especially while we are chanting the holy name, we should be like Mother Yasoda. In our practice, we should be in that mood, I need to catch Krishna, I need to have Krishna, I need to be with Krishna. This is the meaning of us practicing sadhana, to be Krishna conscious, to be with Krishna. And sometimes we are not running after Krishna. We are doing a japa walk and we are thinking, yeah, even if I don't catch Krishna, it's okay. I do what I'm supposed to do, so everything is all right. But there is not this eagerness. And Mother Yasoda shows us, the Leela shows us, if we want to catch Krishna, we need to run fast. We need to really endeavor. We need to really give ourselves. And Srila Rupa Goswami said, this is lolyam. The price of Krishna consciousness is lolyam, is eagerness. When this eagerness is developing in our hearts, this eagerness to be with Krishna or to meet Krishna, then Krishna becomes conquered and Krishna allows himself. So these pastimes show us how eager we should be to be Krishna conscious. How much we should be crying and begging as we are chanting the holy name, Krishna, allow yourself now to come in my heart, to be with me, to allow me to chant properly. So I think it's a very, very relevant point. And as we are chanting the holy name, we can contemplate on that, how much eager I am. Bhujan Prabhu said something very nice. He said, when we chant the holy name casually, means we chant the holy name and we don't care so much if Krishna manifests or not, then Krishna is not manifesting. And Krishna is actually perfectly reciprocating with our desire by staying away. Because we don't have the desire to be with him, so Krishna reciprocate with that and don't come. But when the desire is there for Krishna, when this call, like Draupadi calling for Krishna, when the call of the chanting is really calling the Lord, then Krishna feels, yeah, yeah, I have
have to go. I have to do that. It's a very nice connection with the Mother Yasoda running after Krishna, and Krishna looking and going slower and then faster again. It's very, very beautiful, and that's our practice. That's we want to be with Krishna, and Krishna will only allow himself to be bound by this love. And this is there. We need to work on our eagerness. Oh ja, really?
Dass ich das alles denke, was ich gerade denke, ja, willst du das wirklich? Weil ich will eigentlich chanten, aber ich kann überhaupt nicht loslassen von den ganzen Gedanken, die ich habe. So, und das ist doch alles irgendwie, weil es war total präsent. Ja, ich habe eigentlich sehr intensiv gechantet, aber mein Geist war so direkt neben der Spur. Das hat auch alles mit Krishna zu tun, aber ich wollte eigentlich chanten. Ich habe ja gechantet. Und Mutter der Schule ist ja auch so, wenn man das so sieht, die läuft mit der Krishna her und kriegt ihn so genervt, dass sie ihn nicht kriegt. Und so, wenn wir chanten und der Geist hat so viele Sachen vor, dann sind wir ja auch genervt, dass wir eigentlich Krishna nicht kriegen.
Mm.
Ja.
But for, I mean, Mother Yasoda is a mixture. She's angry at Krishna, but she's also joyful. She's also smiling. And I think for us, it's not really proper to become angry at Krishna for not being able to. But that we need to go in this position of humility. And Bhujan Prabhu also mentioned, when we really try to chant the holy name and really try and try, we just become humble. We just understand I have no chance on my own. It's just a mercy that can bring me in a higher level. And then we become like beggars. Please, please, Krishna, please allow me, please allow me. And then after sometimes it just breaks through. And you mentioned the other point of duty. What is the duty? And I think Krishna gives a very nice example with Arjuna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra by saying him, you need to do your duty. This is the most important. And that's Mother Yasoda had to do what's right. I mean, it was everything for the Leela also planned in that way. But we were reading that in Golokadam. We are studying Bhagavad Gita, and there is this point when Krishna say you have to do your work, you have to do your duty, and then he speak about eternity of the soul, that no one can be killed, and then he say you should be tolerant from happiness and distress, and see them as winter and summer, and not be affected by all of that. And in the Baladev Vidyabhushana's commentary, he said that actually when one is very fixed in his mission, in his pflicht, in his duty that he has to do, then he will be not affected by those happiness and distress of life. And definitely we need to have our spiritual goal, our spiritual duties very, very clear in front of us. Obviously we might have some goals in the temple, we need to have this or that, or maybe we have some plan like this, but also the eternal goals of what is our eternal spiritual goal also needs to be very much in front of our eyes. And then we are not so much influenced by happiness and distress. That means this application of our own duty, it's very, very important, and becomes non-different from Krishna consciousness. At a certain stage, our goal is that we all the time think of Krishna while doing our activities, that our activities are not disconnected from Krishna. That it's not, I just do bhajan and chant and remember Krishna or do service, it's everything is one. The service actually become bhajan. The service, while we do the service, we are thinking of Krishna. But in our stage, this duty is very important, but we should often we see more our material duty, which is Krishna conscious, which is serving in the temple and like this. But what's about our reading duty? We have your duty to read 1 hour a day as temple devotees. How much serious we are with our own spiritual duties or responsibilities of being brahmachari, a temple devotee? So often we have this wrong version of our duty by seeing only the material. It's Krishna conscious, it's service, but I would say the physical aspect of what we have to do, and we neglect the essential aspect. And so we definitely have to stick very, very seriously and be very determined in reaching our goal and to our duty. But we should never ever disregard our spiritual duties. They are our base. They are our ground. Without that, all other things we do, it's without strength. Let's say I saw you and Mataji, and after that we close it. And I will try to answer short. I think often this fear is coming from the ego, from the false ego, and we are actually fearful to lose maybe some of the attachment that we have and that we know we have to get rid, and therefore there is little fear there. Also connected to faith, we might not have the full faith that Krishna will take fully care if we surrender more, and we are hesitant to. Something that come to my mind is to read more about our acharyas, to read more about how pure devotees are living. If you read Narottam Das Thakur, Shyamananda, all those associates of the Lord, how they were living, you just, after sometimes you just feel, this is actually what I want. I want to become like them. This is actually what I'm looking for. And this will give you more faith that the process is bringing, will bring you there, and that you will feel, let me do it. It will help. That's just a thought that comes for that. Ataji? Yeah, it is very nice to do that, because we definitely, the temple might need some financial support, and it's connected really in giving prasadam or giving Krishna consciousness book, and it's really helping the people. It's good while you distribute the sweet that you meditate, that you are actually giving them Krishna. That you don't meditate so much how much money will come in, but you meditate that you are actually giving them Krishna. And you leave in Krishna's hand to inspire them to give whatever they want. So it's very important we are not too much attached or too much fixed on the money when we do that. That we are more fixed on giving them Krishna consciousness. We also have some financial problems in Goloka Dham, and we also started to make some sweet for distribution, and we thought now we just went for a small tour with Bhakta Mikael, and we were thinking also to distribute some sweets and some books. And just before leaving Goloka Dham, we have a very interesting devotee in Goloka Dham. His name is Vishnu Yas. Very special devotee, and he came to me and he said, don't try to run after Lakshmi. If you run after Lakshmi, you will not get Lakshmi. But if you worship Krishna, Lakshmi will come. And I think it's very nice. Also, we have to show Krishna. Krishna is the most rich and can send the money very fast. And we have to show Krishna we are ready to make some endeavors to face the difficult financial difficulty. But we should never fall into the trap of thinking we are controlling, that we and meditate too much on the Lakshmi. It's good we do something to help, but we should leave it to, we should worship Krishna. It's really, and all those prasanam distribution should be really met with this mood of worshipping Krishna, of giving Krishna consciousness, and really leave it in the hands of Krishna how much will come, and not be attached on that. It's a challenging thing, but I think that's what we want. So we'll stop here at 11 o'clock. We will have another session in 1.5 hours. We will hear, I think, about Vatsasura. And at 3 o'clock, we will have another session. We will hear about Bakasura. Tomorrow morning lecture, we will hear about Agasura. And tomorrow for Sunday feast, we will hear about the Brahma Vimoha and Lila. So it's actually quite packed. And I can tell, we did that in Goloka Dham last year, a seminar like this, with really a lot of hearing about Krishna. And it was extremely purifying. It was actually very, very deep experience to just sit for so many hours. We have that with 12-hour kirtan, or we do like marathon of trying to be in Krishna consciousness. And that's a little bit a marathon in Krishna consciousness, but more on hearing about Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's activities. I hope you can be with us also for the next sessions. And I think now will be breakfast.
Yeah.